Hello, I'm Flora Murphy, Multimedia Officer for Future Foreign Policy. In this podcast, I will be talking to Hilary Stauffer about the place of human rights in the discussion of modern counterterrorism policy. So, Hilary, could you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Hilary Stauffer, and I'm a visiting fellow here at the Center for the Study of Human Rights at the London School of Economics. I've been a diplomat, so I used to work within the Human Rights Council at the United Nations, and I ran an NGO in Singapore that dealt with everybody's right to have a lawyer and freedom from torture in Southeast Asian countries. Recently, I've been looking at the intersection between counterterrorism and human rights.
Great, thanks. So what do you think is the way to find the right balance between protecting against terrorism and ensuring human rights?
There's no right answer to this because terrorist acts are so culturally specific and contextually specific. The problem with trying to balance terrorism against human rights is that human rights are also not one size fits all. You can restrict freedom of speech or freedom of expression in some contexts, and maybe that makes a lot of sense, but in other contexts, perhaps you need to restrict freedom of movement because perhaps having curfews, just real police measures, would make more sense than having counterterrorism or military measures in for a particular situation. And what we're always trying to do within the human rights world is just get everybody to the table. We just want everyone to sit down and talk to each other so we can figure out what the grievances are and figure out how to fix them. But the problem with trying to balance human rights and counterterrorism measures is that the governments never err on the side of human rights. The scales always tip to the side of counterterrorism measures. And so human rights should be at the forefront of policymaking. And in fact, most of the time, they're just a footnote, if at all.
It seems like many countries see mass surveillance as the answer to protection against terrorism. What do you think about this?
We are in the brave new post-Edward Snowden world here, where we now know this is happening, and maybe we didn't know it before, maybe we suspected it was, and we didn't really care. But it is illegal. The laws in America certainly don't permit it in the way that the government is currently practicing it. And they say they've reformed their tactics, and the NSA is going to start, our national security agency, the NSA, will start being more heavily regulated. The thing is, all of these intelligence agencies operate in such secrecy. We don't know what they're doing. And this does all expand out of the Patriot Act and post-September 11th fear. It is an undeniable fact that we wrote this law and nobody even read it. I mean, they passed it in 3 days after September 11th or something. There's just no one can read 400 pages of legislation and understand what it all means and what it all says, and they didn't. The problem is now 15 years later, 13 years later, we're running into the effects of the Patriot Act, and this is the problem with bad laws, is that you don't see their terrible effects, perhaps until a decade later, when already so many rights have been infringed upon. Another problem with mass surveillance is that the reason governments rely on it is because it's so much easier and cheaper than training and hiring human intelligence analysts to look at these very thorny questions. And that's what we need to do. We need to hire human intelligence analysts, human spies, human policy wonks to look at all of this information that we think that we're, you know, scooping up through mass surveillance laws and figure out what it all means. But that takes a long time, and nobody wants a long-term solution. Everybody wants immediate results. There's a lot of groupthink that comes in counterterrorism and responses to terrorist activity, and this is some of our biggest problems. We, the people, do not really care that people are mass surveilling us. But everyday people generally think, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't mind. They're welcome to read my emails because there's nothing in there anyway. And that's our fault, and we have to look at our own behavior. And because if we are not going to fight for our rights, why should we expect everybody else to? I mean, we are outsourcing this to the government, who really only has their self-interest in place, and hopefully their self-interest coincides with our self-interest. But the laws won't stop at just those who are doing something wrong. The laws will always be expanded until somebody pushes back, so we have a responsibility to be part of the solution there as well.
Thanks. And finally, Do you think there is a risk of a law such as the Patriot Act, as it was passed after 9/11, being passed in France or Europe?
France, last September 2014, passed a series of laws limiting free speech aimed at Islamic radicalism that they probably will now expand upon in the wake of the Charlie Hebdo attack. The United Kingdom has also passed legislation recently that is quite heavy-handed and kind of tracks with France's in its ability to infringe on freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And it's also aimed at Islamic radicalism, but the problem is that it won't only affect Islamic radicals, it will affect everybody. And This is really problematic for a liberal democracy to be reacting in such a fear-based way. Australia has also been considering quite heavy-handed legislation that would infringe on free speech, but even more so with all three laws that are being considered or already in place, is that they ask people to basically police each other, or for schools or universities or doctors' offices to kind of watch their patients or watch their students and then report to the government if they think anything bad is happening. And that's really frightening from a civil liberties perspective. Nobody will be trained for this. No one will know exactly what to look at when they see Islamic radicalism. And people are scared and people overreact. And I think as well, the most interesting thing is that for these three governments and others that will also consider laws, the UK, Australia, and France don't have the same political ideology, so it's not a conservative versus liberal thing. The UK and Australia have quite conservative governments right now, but France has a socialist government, so you wouldn't think that they would have very much in common with their approach to perhaps enforcing human rights, protecting human rights, but they do, and they've all ended up with the worst possible option. So that's really challenging from a policy perspective. We would expect governments to perhaps think more about what their voters want and what their citizens want, but in this situation they're not doing that. Are we putting laws on the books right now that can be abused and widened and applied in an unfair way? Probably. And you want governments to be smarter than that and to think for the long term, but they don't.
Thank you, Hillary, for answering our questions. I'm Flora Murphy, Multimedia Officer for Future and Forward Policy, and I hope you have enjoyed this podcast.